This morning we have with us a number of representatives from Lutheran ministries that serve in a variety of ways. To begin this morning, I want to introduce to you Reverend Fred Steemke. He is a 1955 graduate of this institution. He served in the parish ministry in Georgia and in Virginia, and in 1966 received a call from the Southeastern District to begin a chaplaincy program in that district. He served in that capacity for 7 years until 1974, when he went to Bethesda Lutheran Home, where he served as chaplaincy services director. Reverend Steemke received an honorary doctorate from this institution last May. He will be introducing the other representatives of Lutheran ministries who have come to be with us today. So we welcome Reverend Steemke.
Thank you, Dean Smith. What appropriate pericopes for a convocation that involves people from various Lutheran agencies. The readings we heard in chapel reminded us that our gracious God's love shows no favoritism. That's also true in his judgment. But above all, in his grace, we can revel that he does not play favorites. And we were also reminded that he has often chosen the weak rather than the strong. One of the amazing things about Scripture is that it's a mine we can never exhaust of its riches. And it was many, many years into the ministry before picking up my Greek New Testament to do some preparation for a sermon, that suddenly I realized the English translations, most of them that I had been using, had really missed the point of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22. Paul had been speaking about the body of Christ and how that body is one in our Lord, and that one part can't say it has no need for the other. And it suddenly hit me precisely what Paul was pointing out. He said that those parts which seem to be weaker, not are weaker, but seem to be weaker, are indispensable. I think we would all concur with what Scripture says. And yet our practical theology and our head or book theology don't always go together. We wisely, together as a synod and above all the seminary family with the support of so many friends, built a new chapel. But could someone in a wheelchair get to the communion rail? I hope so, because I hope they're four strong men that would pick up the paralyzed and carry them to the presence of the Lord. But I think it says something that our practical theology and our book theology don't always go together. By the help of the Holy Spirit, those of us who are here hope to set the stage that in your own ministries, this will happen more frequently. In the United States last year, the Office of Disability and Religion in Washington, D.C. numbered 43 million people who would be labeled by the world disabled. 43 million. 90% of these people have no ties of any kind to any faith group. And some of the faith groups don't even acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Some of those ties to the faith group are limited to an occasional visit from clergy. Beloved, those with disabilities of various kinds are often forgotten by our church, and they are a vast mission field. Fortunately, there's strong self-advocacy on the part of some of them today, but are we in the church listening And are we in the church responding? In my own particular narrow focus upon disability in the area of mental retardation, there are more than 7 million individuals in this country who are mentally retarded. And that means if we use the figures presented to us before, there are more than 6,440,000 individuals in my area that are not being touched by the church. And so we are here to encourage you in your ministry to be facilitators in your congregation with the help of God to make your congregations truly inclusive households of worship and fellowship and service. And we'd like to begin this morning by having Mrs. Roberta Wirth speak to you about how the Lutheran Braille workers help and assist you in this job of being inclusive congregations. Mrs. Wirth, what is your title with Lutheran Braille? I thought you were still president, but we haven't been together for a couple years, so I had to check and make sure it was still true.
Yes, I am president of the board of directors of Lutheran Braille Workers. I'll just tell you what our organization is this morning, and then, as he said, I want to speak to you as future pastors and as pastors to make you aware of the field that's facing you. Lutheran Braille Workers is an organization. We are a recognized service organization of the Missouri Synod. We prepare Braille and large print, and it's all free for the blind and visually impaired. We do in 42 languages. We go into third world countries. If any of you students go into the mission field, you definitely need to talk to us about getting material for the blind. I know you're thinking, I don't know any blind people, and I probably won't have a congregation with blind people. Let me tell you, you're wrong. You will have, unless you're all about 20 years old, because the visually impaired, they don't have to be totally blind to need special needs. I think it is sad, as I go into churches, that there are no facilities for the blind. And I will use just the word blind, but I'm talking about people my age and younger who need large print. It was brought very much home to me how much we neglect those people when I sat down in my congregation and I read the bulletin, and it says in regular print, large print bulletins are available in the Northex. I went to two pastors, I went to different ones, and each one, well, we will take care of it. That was 3 months ago, and now they're talking about doing away with the large print bulletins because nobody asked for them, because they don't hand them to the ushers, they don't have them available. We have the entire Bible, a New International Version, in large print, free for people. And yet, I cannot get them in the libraries in the churches. We have devotional material. We have all kinds of material. And I have spoke to most of the congregations in my area, and yet a lady called me the other day to talk about something else and told me she had to have large print material. And I said, have you talked to your pastor about material? Well, she said, I told him I needed a large print Bible, and he patted my hand and said he was sorry I couldn't read. That's a sad commentary of how we just brush people aside. And probably if I was not around blind people as much as I am and visiting in different countries and so forth, I probably would pass it aside too. We are very fortunate in the United States that we don't have as many blind people as in the third world countries. But every year, 50,000 people in the United States lose their eyesight. You don't have to be totally blind to need special help. And if any of you can imagine that if you would suddenly walk out of this building and you've lost your eyesight, how are you going to find the material that you need, the help that you need? And if our church doesn't tell those people what is available, who is going to tell them? So it's up to you as pastors and future pastors to be very, very aware that if there is a blind person in a family, that family has very special needs. If grandpa and grandma or even a child begins to suddenly need large print material, that family needs help. They need help in finding out where they can go. And the resources are there, but it takes a sighted person to find them for them. So I want you all to be very aware when you go back to your home congregation and so forth of the total blindness. I just want to give you a few facts, too, of our mission that we do in Lutheran Braille Workers, and we work very closely with the Lending Library here at the Concordia Publishing House. It's an arm of the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church also. They have a lending library that you can check out any kind of a book that you want to that's a Christian book just to read and to send back to them. Plus, they do have the catechism. We have all kinds of help in both Braille and large print. There's 58 million blind people in the world. That is just a staggering figure for us. But do you know they tell me that in some countries, if you look out on your congregation of a Sunday morning, 3 out of 4 people will be blind? Can you imagine working in a place like that? We now are starting a children's Bible in what we call Grade 1 Braille, which is straight 1-2 ABC translation in Braille, which older people, as they become blind, can learn to read. Plus, we're sending them. We started to do it. God works in mysterious ways. They asked for 1,000 copies for the libraries in Russia because they wanted to put them in the schools. And we started in to produce that book. We're finding now that our older people in the United States and in all the third world countries are asking for those books. We have 7,000 volunteers over the United States. Our material is available to anyone free of charge. And I will be glad to talk to you anytime in the next 3 days. We're over near the cafeteria. No. Lober Hall. We're in Lober Hall. I'll be glad to talk to you, give you a list of resources, things that you might want to put in your file. I have places where aids for the blind people. I have organizations that can help, state organizations, and I'll just be real happy to talk to you about it. If you're very fortunate and go to a church when you receive your call that has a Braille center, visit that center the very first day you go there. You'll find a group of working Christians within your church already organized, and I can guarantee you'll get a lot done in your church besides just them making Braille. I thank you for letting me talk to you a little bit. I would like to talk to each of you individually and explain to you what blindness is. We think we understand, but there's just no way we can understand what it's like. Suddenly close your eyes and think, what do colors look like if I never saw those colors? How do I write to my children if I am suddenly blind? How do I read God's Word? You know that there are a lot of talking books, but can you imagine if in sometime when you're very troubled, you couldn't reach over and pick up your Bible and read it for yourself? And that's what the blind face, unless they have Braille. So come by and see our booth over there, and I hope we'll get to come back and talk to you and maybe come into your churches when you are established and talk to you and make your lay people aware of what a vast mission field. I haven't even talked about nursing homes, and that, too, is a great mission field for you when you go into your churches because the older people and their families need help. And they do need large print. Thank you a lot.
Before Mrs. Wirth leaves the podium, perhaps one or more of you have questions, and I always like to comment that in my book there's only one stupid question, okay? That's the one you don't ask, because if you don't ask, you don't learn. Perhaps out of your own experience or from something Mrs. Wirth said, some of you may have questions for her.
I know of one stupid question. A blind person told me he was always asked funny questions, and he said, the dumbest one I was ever asked, he said, a man walked up to me and he said, have you been blind all your life? And I said, not yet.
Here's a question. I was wondering if you were going to be expanding into audio materials. My grandfather has gone blind but is unable to read Braille because he has lost feeling in his hands also.
We do not plan to go into it, but we do have a marvelous field right here in our Missouri Synod. It's under the Deaf program, but they do have everything practically that we have in Braille and large print in on cassettes. We also have available, there's a group in California, in Florida, that will furnish free of charge 3 or 4 versions of the Bible on cassettes. We have from the Library of Congress, we have anything that they would want on cassettes. And I will be glad to give you any information on that because I do have it.
Okay, thank you.
Let me respond further. We had hoped that several other recognized service organizations of Synod would be with us, but part of the priorities in the church are such among our people that we tend to look at the local congregations and forget both the needs of Synod and of the agencies. And one of the groups that was to be with us was Silent Word, but their budget would not permit them to come. They couldn't justify it because none of your professors felt that the subjects offered fit in with their classroom lectures. But Silent Word is located at Concordia University at River Forest, and they're the people to contact for audio materials. If they don't have it, they know where to get it. Thank you, Mrs. Wirth. You've got to get to know this lady and her husband. Marvelous, wonderful people who have enriched my world in our times together. On an academic campus, the position of dean is one that people work for pretty hard, I think, ultimately to get there. But it's my privilege to now introduce to you a dean who has been a dean for life, at least since his baptism, Reverend Dean Wachholz. Pastor Wachholz is with Lutheran Special Education Ministries located in Detroit, Michigan, as its home office and branch operations elsewhere that he can tell you about. Perhaps if you don't know this agency, you really do, because formerly it was called Lutheran School for the Deaf. Pastor Wachholz is their assistant director of development and the pastor on their staff at the present time.
Thank you for the opportunity. As was noted, we were known since 1873 as Lutheran School for the Deaf. Children have been our heritage, and they continue to remain our goal and our direction of service. One of the things that we emphasize is our statement of ministry on our brochure that talks about the fact that there is a child who is among us who could very well be in need of some additional help in his program of learning, particularly at that young age. And so one of our purposes is probably best summed up with our statement of purpose that says, with the knowledge of God's love and the desire that God's love be revealed through our ministry, Lutheran Special Education Ministry serves to enable children with special learning needs, or sometimes we refer to them as the educationally handicapped, to receive a Christian education. What that basically means for us is that between Chicago, New York, and Detroit, we now are servicing roughly approximately 1,100 students a year who are within the Lutheran grade school system who need additional help in the process of overcoming what is called a learning disability, or LD for short. What this means is that at times a child will wonder why he or she cannot do as well as others in the classroom, particularly when it comes to a certain subject. Generally, we would see this in the area of reading, math, spelling. It also, of course, shows itself in other areas. And the reason why they sometimes are labeled stupid or labeled as someone who just doesn't want to work as hard as the others is the fact that these students who have a learning disability have a difficulty that occurred at birth. When at birth the brain was, so to speak, wired, their brain just did not come together in the same manner or way as others. And so that means that sometimes you will have a child that you know is what we call dyslexic, meaning that the child sometimes inverts letters, words. The child does not necessarily see the spaces between sentences or paragraphs at times. And because they sometimes are labeled as stupid or ignorant, they sometimes are just left off to the sidelines. And it is that type of student that we try and service within our system. What we've discovered is that these problems are not necessarily unique in the sense that they cannot be overcome. A learning disabled child, what we call a moderate learning disabled child, is not stupid or dumb by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, tests reveal that he or she will have average or above average intelligence, but because one or two areas of learning are affected, it not only results in their difficulty to handle one or two subjects that come to the forefront of what they're working on in the classroom, but it also affects their self-esteem. What we attempt to do is take the strengths of the child and teach him methods of learning that are what you might call non-traditional methods. This means then sometimes pulling the child out of a classroom and working with the child anywhere from a half hour to maybe a couple hours a day in what might be called a resource room. We at Lutheran Special Ed Ministries happen to have 39 of these located between New York, Detroit, and Chicago. And by the way, I would be the first to say we're not alone in this understanding that there is a child among us who is learning disabled and who also needs that additional help. There are organizations in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Memphis, Tennessee. I could go on with about a half a dozen other communities that are also working with the same difficulty we are, under slightly different title, but basically that's what they're also attempting to do. One of the reasons why we came into existence and changed our name from Lutheran School for the Deaf to Lutheran Special Ed Ministries is because, I'm sure as you're well aware, in 1975 the federal government passed a law that mandated all children with learning disabilities and physical handicaps to be taken care of by the local school district.
Up until that point, Lutheran School for the Deaf was servicing in a residential situation approximately a couple of hundred students from all over the country who would live on campus 10 months out of the year. As you can guess, with that kind of a law, we developed a loss rather quickly, with many of the parents deciding to keep those children within their own community and have the local school district pick up the cost. So our population decreased rather quickly, and it was then at that time that the board of directors decided that we will not close our doors, but rather we will expand our ministry into what is, as I say, we now call the learning disabled child, that middle of the road who has difficulty learning or perceiving certain functions. And of course, it was then that we also discovered that if we placed individuals at certain schools whereby they would be accessible to the students, to the teacher, to the principal, to the parents, this was a way that we would be able to serve these children by giving them some of that special time that they need, not only for their self-esteem, but also for finding out that there are other methods of learning than beyond what we call the traditional methods. And it is that type of program that we have now that has resulted in our servicing that many students. The other thing that we provide, to give you a little, one other resource, is we provide through our Ephatha Center, we provide a resource for teachers, Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school teachers and programs, and just all around awareness through our Ephatha Center, whereby we have probably one of the largest libraries set aside just for the learning disabled child. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call our number in the Detroit area, and you will find someone there who, for no more than the cost of the phone call, who can direct you to some personnel perhaps in your own area or material that you might use and find helpful, whether it be confirmation instruction, and discovering that perhaps you have a learning disabled child in your confirmation class, or whether it be for Sunday school material or vacation Bible study. No, we do not have material for adults, even though we are well aware of the fact that we do have adults with learning disabilities who have not been blessed with the opportunity to find different ways of learning, but at the present time, our curriculum and our financial abilities just only really allows us to cover that material, that age group at the moment. By definition, a child has to be 2 years behind in his or her studies. And of course, that makes it difficult then to test a child much before they get into third or possibly fourth grade. But as you can guess, if a child is discovered at that younger age, there is a great opportunity to help that child work through and around some of those areas, that area of weakness. And we have a fair amount of success with the children, and partly because in the program, we work on an individual basis with the children who are in our Lutheran schools and grade schools principally. That's what we work out of. So that gives you, in a nutshell, basically some of the things that we do at Lutheran Special Ed Ministries, and probably something that you can put in the back of your menu someplace back there to recall that if you need some help or assistance, look us up in the back of the annual under Lutheran Special Ed Ministries, and we will be glad to return your phone call, tell you about material that is available, or even manage workshops, that type of thing, for the teacher or staff
who have individuals in their classroom or in their congregation who need some help with a learning disabled child.
Are there questions for Pastor Wachholz?
Yes, I have one question. You spoke of a range of kind of the middle of the road learning disabled people. Do you also offer resources that might allow us to explore the possibilities and pursue confirmation and Bible instruction on a farther range, maybe Down syndrome?
We do have material, available and referenced material for that, and we can give you specific publishing houses, etc., that deal with that. Yes. Yes, we can.
The question is twofold. First of all, as a former teacher, how long have y'all been working in the special ed mode?
Since about 1978 is when opened our first resource room in Michigan.
I taught for 6 years in Lutheran schools, and this is the first time I've ever heard about it. I recall struggling many times with LD students. The other question is concerning parents. It seemed to me that, if I remember correctly, that the biggest hurdle was getting past the parents in order to do any type of special ed referral or anything else because of a stigma or this preconceived notion about special ed. Are there any strategies for getting past parents or getting them to accept helping parents to accept the way things need to be?
No, we find that very same struggle. Part of the reason, one of the questions I get asked every time I'm on the road or talking about our ministry is just what you had said. Why have I not heard about this before? Part of our reason for what we're doing is to form a national network so that we can acquaint people in a little faster fashion, so to speak, about what's available for them.
But well, the technology is different than it was 10 years ago, too. So.
Correct.
A couple of additions to what Pastor Wachholz has said. One of the best strategies, I think, to get parents over the hump in dealing with the reality of a child's so-called limitations, at least by our human standards, is to find other parents to work with them. And that's part of the reason we encourage human care committees, what used to be called social ministry committees in congregations, to be active in developing a list of parent groups that can reach out to other parents to let them know, hey, it's okay, and there are resources.
How can congregations work with the other arms of Lutheranism, like LSS and Lutheran Family Services? How do we as future pastors begin to coordinate with those things as we see kids with special needs, learning disabilities, special education, religious needs? Where does it all start? We could all go to one person, or we could all go to a few separate organizations. How do we start?
It depends upon what type of needs individuals have. In the area of disability, I'm about to talk about Bethesda's National Christian Resource Center. While our primary concern is mental retardation, which is a narrow area of disability, our staff there, through NICHI and other groups, have a complete listing of places people can turn in the area of disabilities. If it's other kinds of human needs, Lutheran Child and Family Services is what usually the Missouri Synod agencies are called in the various districts, or there may be a cooperative ministry with ELCO, which is LSS. They can also put you pastors on to agencies which provide services for particular needs. The point is knowing that you can turn to both their EFFA Center for Learning Disabilities or Bethesda for the broad range of disabilities, and to your Lutheran social service agencies and ask a question, where can I get help for this particular situation? The problem is nobody at the seminary ever told me that. Nobody at the seminary in the practical theology department ever told me, hey, there are agencies out there that you can turn to get information. And like I say, there's no stupid question as far as I'm concerned.
We are trying to work with, we are trying to keep districts up to date, but, and that's being a little more...
We are trying to keep districts up to date on what we're doing. We're finding some success with that, but it's still a struggle at times because, principally because just of what Fred has said, there isn't always the awareness of what is needed on the local level at times. But the district isn't a bad place to start.
District offices of human care, those districts which have them, not all of our districts have them, are also another resource. I'm now speaking on behalf of Bethesda Lutheran Homes and Services in Watertown, Wisconsin. Since 1904, we have provided residential services and training for individuals who are mentally retarded. Today, we're no longer just in Watertown, but operating in 10 states at 38 different sites, and our residential programs cover a broad range of services to the former type of large institution in Watertown, to group homes, all the way through. In one instance, we have apartments for people who are totally independent, but who might occasionally need a resource person to turn to. But rather than talking about those services we provide as in residential training, I'd like to make you aware, first of all and foremost, about Bethesda's National Christian Resource Center. It has a toll-free number, and please stop by Ober and Lober Hall at the exhibits and pick up at least one item that has that 800 number. It's relatively easy to remember, 369, and then the letters for info. And you can call in regarding the broad range of disabilities, but particularly regarding mental retardation. You as a pastor may never have run across an instance where a family suddenly discovers they have a child with a major disability and particularly mental retardation. What do I say? What do I do? Don't be afraid to call in and ask for help. I think one of the most tragic stories ever told to me were by parents who said that when their pastor came to the hospital and he'd been pre-informed that the child who had been born was born with Down syndrome, he talked about the new baby as it. Not he, but it. So we can help sensitize you to some things not to do and some things that can be helpful. Our National Christian Resource Center has gathered religious education materials from every denomination and has developed some of our own as well. Are you aware that Concordia Publishing House has two curricula published for confirmation instruction of individuals who are mentally retarded? We can tell you about those two sets of lessons. We now have published a pre-confirmation set of lessons which many congregations have used for actual confirmation instruction, not only of persons who are mentally retarded, but others with special learning needs, like Laotian immigrant groups. There are people who need very simple presentation of the Word of God. You'll see the two materials we've published over in the display. The other has been developed by our chaplain in our Northern Illinois facilities, Chaplain Basden. And hopefully sometime next year, there'll be a third set of lessons that we provide, which can be a resource for teaching confirmation instruction. I would say to you, however, as future or present pastors, most parish pastors do not have the large block of time if somebody cannot be mainstreamed in your regular confirmation class. Look to people who have taught lower grades in Sunday school, Christian day school, or public school, and they can usually adapt pretty well to teaching people in this population for confirmation instruction under your supervision, where you get periodic feedback from the student precisely what biblical concepts have been internalized, and they're able to give back you their in their way, the way that they trust that wonderful truth. Memorization may be one good tool for many people, even who are mentally retarded, to reinforce some of the Bible truths. But brothers, too many people have been kept from being confirmed who are mentally retarded because they can't say in its entirety Luther's explanation of the second article of the Creed. But they can tell you, Jesus sends my sins bye-bye. The whole big bunch of them. And everything else that's there, including Christ's descent into hell, but in their own simple way. Why, if they believe the truth, do we keep them from receiving the sacrament? Bethesda will have resources and helps for you if families are insisting that their people be mainstreamed in regular Sunday school or Bible classes, not only special religious education classes. For you as pastors, we have a number of TV tapes that might help. One of them is entitled Counseling and Pastoral Care. The other that I would strongly urge you to take a look at is the tape that we call Parish Advocacy. This speaks about the need for a structured group in the congregation to be purposefully involved in trying to develop inclusive ministries. Inclusive ministries, by God's grace, I've come to see as more than somebody coming to worship and somebody being involved in religious education. That's the top priority. But suppose you were only done two or four and couldn't use your gifts. As soon as somebody is labeled disabled, and especially with people who are mentally retarded, we forget that Scripture says the Holy Spirit endows every believer with gifts for the good of the body. So inclusive ministries means, because we tend to push people away from using those gifts, to develop avenues for them to use their gifts in the service of the congregation and others. There's a whole series of TV tapes on religious education. And all of our TV tapes are free on loan to any church group or church professional. Free. If you think it's so good that you want to buy it, it's going to cost you all of $10, which includes the shipping and handling costs. So it's not going to break you, even if you want to buy it, if you think that the tape is going to be that useful in your parish ministry, in facilitating others in the body of Christ, being involved in meaningful ways with persons who are mentally retarded. Bethesda also provides a free quarterly publication called Breakthrough, which provides some suggestions for special religious education. When that was begun back in 1978, we thought we would be very fortunate if we had 150 requests for it. And we were really going to celebrate if we reached the request for 300. Today, by God's grace, I suspect because it's free, we are mailing Breakthrough to more than 5,000 individuals. And that's a whale of a lot more special religious education classes than we have in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's being used on an ecumenical basis in Catholic churches, in Baptist churches, and you can run the whole gamut. Also going to 20 countries. In Brazil, Mrs. Warther, who is the wife of one of our dear brothers in the ministry there in our sister church in Brazil, in Porto Alegre, has translated the pre-confirmation curriculum and some of Breakthrough's lessons into Portuguese. We're desperately looking and hoping to find somebody who will translate some of the materials into the Spanish for Hispanic ministry work. So Bethesda's been involved not only in supporting special religious education in this country, but by God's grace, the door opened overseas, something we never anticipated as ever happening when that started. God has really miraculously open doors. It doesn't cost a thing for you to call our National Christian Resource Center. Please feel free to do that any non-holiday weekday between 8 and 4:30 on Central Standard Time or Central Daylight Time, whatever it happens to be at the time. Central Time, just like here in St. Louis. Why should you, as parish pastors, be involved with persons who are mentally retarded? Why should your congregation? Obviously, our Savior has mandated that His gospel be preached to whom? All the intellectuals in our country? Only seminarians who get A's? You know the answer to it. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's His mandate, isn't it? But I'd like to say to you that the congregation, which is not purposely trying to reach people in group homes, if there are no people who are mentally retarded in your own congregation, people in group homes in your community, and they're out there today, 92% of people who are mentally retarded are living in the community or in rural sites. If you're not purposefully being involved in ministry with these people, you're cheating yourself of the rich gifts they have. For longer than I'd like to think, because I'm on the verge of retirement, I've been privileged to be pastor for these people in Bethesda facilities. I've taught them, by God's grace, a lot of Bible truth. But they've been my teachers about faith and love, and often about priorities. Let me cite an example. If we're open enough to let them be our teachers, in spite of the label the world put on them. I stopped Gloria in the hall at our Watertown campus after she'd gotten a new job, and congratulated her on her new job because I knew that it meant about 35 cents more a week in her paycheck, since our people are paid by Department of Labor scale on the basis of how much work they can produce, which is under minimum wage, and there are very careful regulations, federal regulations about this. But I knew she got not only a promotion in title, but she was going to get a little more in her paycheck. And I said to Gloria, Gloria, I hear you're working in one of the therapies now, but I forget which one is it, PT, OT, or speech? OT being occupational therapy, PT physical therapy. And she looked at me in utter disgust. And she said, "Why, Pastor, I work for Jesus." If somebody asked me for whom I work, I would have said Bethesda Lutheran Home Brothers. Often there are teachers of how to teach people in their population. One of the problems we run into with some of our people is what professionals call echolalia, where somebody simply echoes back or parrots right back exactly what you say. They're in that phase of development of speech patterns that you might experience if you have a little young child at home. And I was really wondering whether or not I ought to confirm Tom, because he was only using my precise words to describe Jesus' forgiveness, which I think is critical to receiving the Lord's Supper, that we understand what it means that Jesus forgives our sins. So one day in class, I said to Tom, "Tom, forget about what I've said." He said, "Forget about what I've said." I said, no, Tom, forget about what I've said. Tell me or show me in your own way what it means that Jesus forgives your sins." And he got up out of his chair very angry. And in a moment, I was going to see that he was just in that anger, because these people read feelings. They ought to have postdoctoral degrees in reading feelings. And he read that I didn't trust that he knew what it meant that Jesus forgives his sins. But instead of throwing a temper tantrum or stomping out the door, he walked toward the window, reached in his pocket, pulled out his hanky, and said, "Bye-bye, sins." And he taught us that very concrete image that we use with people who are profoundly retarded, because they understand bye-bye. Or, for example, when I was visiting one of our group homes. If there's any of the faculty here who heard me preach in the old chapel here quite a few years back, forgive me for repeating the story, but when I got to the group home and was leaving church, this man came running over, grabbed my arm, and he said, you're the chaplain from Bethesda, aren't you? And I said, yes. And he said, I've got to tell you about one of the residents in your group home, what he did for me. He said, tragically, though my wife and I have three sons, our oldest son got involved in the drug scene as a very young teenager. And by the time he was a young adult, he was arrested in this small town for selling controlled substances. He said, on the way out of church, one of the pillars of the congregation turned to my wife and said, well, now I guess you're the mother of just two sons. I don't know how that cut that mother unless we'd been had a child of our own heavily in the drug scene. He said, on the way out to the parking lot, your resident came running over and he said, is it true what I hear about your son? He said, after what was said to my wife, I was ready to haul off and sock him. He said, thank God I didn't. When I said yes and tears started streaming down my face, he undid the button on his shirt, took out a small walnut cross on a piece of string, and he said, here, give this to your son and tell him that Jesus still loves him and that I love him too. Who met the needs of this family at a point of deep crisis in their own faith life? The pillar of the congregation or somebody whom we would write off as mentally retarded? Brothers, if your congregation is not involved in purposeful ministry with these people, you're cheating yourself and you're cheating your people. And because Christ embraces us without partiality, may that be the model of your ministry in the days ahead. Call us, ask for help. Call us, ask us for workshops if you've got circuit needs or district needs. We're having a workshop here Saturday. Bethesda will be glad to try to facilitate this aspect of your ministry in the community. And I guess I better ask if you have questions in the 2 minutes we got left. If not, thank you very much for taking time out in the midst of all your studies to listen to us and spread the word to the brothers in your remaining days on the campus here about inclusive ministries with people the world labels disabled, but who are anything but disabled or retarded in the faith when exposed to ministry of word and sacrament. Thank you all very much.